Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tomorrow night at 6:30, Carl Sprague will give an artist lecture at the Opelka Gallery at the Sage Colleges in Albany, New York. The artist lecture series is co-sponsored by the Opelka Gallery and the Department of Art and Design. Sprague is a Berkshire-based production designer, art director, and concept illustrator for film, theater, and advertising. He's designed sets for the Berkshire Theater Group, Shakespeare & Company, Old Castle Theater, and many other regional theaters in the Berkshires and around the country. He's worked on design elements of films with Steven Spielberg, Nora Ephron, Ron Howard, David Mamet, David Fincher, Steve McQueen, and Wes Anderson. He was a concept illustrator for Anderson's The Grand Budapest Hotel and worked on the upcoming stop-motion film Isle of Dogs. As I visited Sprague to talk about his work and upcoming event at the Opelka Gallery, he was preparing his house for the memorial of his recently departed wife, artist Susan Merrill.
This is a welcome distraction, and I'm delighted to talk and meet you.
Susan died on October 24th of glioblastoma after being diagnosed last May, and we agreed it didn't make sense to pretend he wasn't going through this indescribably difficult time. So I asked him to tell me a little bit about his wife.
Artist, teacher, writer extraordinaire. It's 2 weeks ago now that she died, so I haven't even gotten started missing her, you know. So,
but he'd kept our appointment and wanted to move forward with his lecture in Albany on Tuesday.
Oh yes, of course, absolutely. No, that's. I'm looking forward to that. No, I've. It's been a little while since I've given a talk. A few years ago, I got onto some sort of strange lecture circuit, and Susan came along with me, which was lovely. Went down to Argentina, to Mar del Plata, and Costa Rica, and to Barcelona, and I don't know why all the Spanish-speaking countries, but I got to a very interesting crowd of sort of like, you know, Argentinian skateboard punks and, you know, and comic book designers and so forth. And yeah, no, I somehow, like, I don't know, people got interested in me.
I pointed out he has quite an impressive career and asked how he'd gotten into the work and started on the path to where he is now.
I don't know. I've had a very, I mean, I'd hesitate to say lucky. I mean, there's been a lot of diligence, but the career has kind of mounted up. And I've been fortunate, actually, in projects and things that have come my way and being able to work with extraordinarily interesting people. You know, when I got out of college, I had like only one ambition in life, which was to get on the crew of one of Woody Allen's films. And I put my head to it, and it was through my little brother's piano teacher, who was teaching the kids of Bob Greenhut, who was one of Woody's producers at the time, that I managed to insinuate myself into a job driving the set decorator on radio days. I was a really terrible driver. I wouldn't say late, but I wasn't early. And I was frequently lost and driving around in parts of New Jersey and Queens and so forth as a Manhattan boy. I had no clue where I was at all. And then the Teamsters got wind of the fact that I was driving the set decorator, which is really a Teamster job. And so, like, the first day of shooting, I was sacked. And I was just crushed. You know, in the process of that, the designer for Radio Days was Santa Laquasto, who, Radio Days was the first movie that he designed for Woody. And his predecessor for Woody, Mel Bourne, was, like, you know, also, like, just a god. And then I was sort of intrigued by always watching the credits of Woody's pictures by the name of the art director, Speed Hopkins. I mean, to conjure with. And in the process of driving the decorator around, I got to know Santo a little bit and Speed, and they were terribly busy and they didn't have a heck of a lot of time for me, but I kept in correspondence with Speed somehow. It was maybe only 5 years later, and in those 5 years, various things happened. I got married. I was living in New York. I was going to NYU for graduate school. I lasted there 3 months, and then the stock market crashed, and couldn't afford my rent in New York anymore. And I got a phone call offering me a job at Berkshire Motion Picture, which was what Doug Trumbull was starting up at that point in 1987. And, you know, it was erratic, you know, jobs came and went, but I worked there on and off for 5 years, finally got serious, joined the union. And then another amazing telephone call about Martin Scorsese doing his version of Edith Wharton's Age of Innocence. And there's Speed looking for someone to hire, you know, in the art department. And I seem appealing because I'm local and I don't have to be housed.
Location, location, location.
Because I can drive an hour to Troy every morning and back. But so the Berkshires actually as a location has been a strange ongoing theme of my random career, where most of the time it's a complete disadvantage. But every now and then it becomes like a selling point. You know, it's like, oh, you're here. So, and there's things now coming up in the future that, like, you know, seem really promising that way. Like Gregory Crutzen's Reflected Light project, which, you know, we've just barely started talking about, but I think it's going to be amazing. And then this incredibly worthy, wonderful dream project, the Mumbet movie about Elizabeth Freeman, which, you know, just needs to be made, also needs to be financed. But they seem to be making some headway. So, you know, I could have two Berkshire movies next year, which is incredible. So that's something. But then, you know, to go back to the Woody thing, you know, I mean, I had a wonderful time working with Speed. And, you know, and that project got nominated for an Oscar for design. And you know, it was an incredible experience. Speed died of AIDS, like not even 2 years after the film was made. But, you know, he gave me my career, and it was, you know, another kind of amazing thing where, like, you know, just, when was that? I mean, 2014, I think. I get a call out of the blue from Santo saying, I understand that you're the person to talk to about art directing in New England, and I was wondering if you were available to come and art direct for me on Woody Allen movie, which, you know, there was untitled then, but, you know, it was eventually called Irrational Man with the Joaquin Phoenix and Emma Stone. So suddenly I have Speed's job, and I have to say, I mean, every morning I woke up and, like, just pulled my shoulders back a little bit further and tried to stand up a little straighter, because that was something that, like, I just couldn't even imagine. And then it was a year, 2016, then Helen Robin, who was the one who had handed me assistant production office coordinator, she'd handed me the keys to the ridiculous Ford LTD wagon that I drove the set decorator around in on radio days. Anyway, she calls. Now she's Woody's, like, longtime producer and an incredible person. But she calls me up and says, "So Santo is very busy with Hello, Dolly. And he thought that maybe, and I agreed with him, that maybe you might be interested in designing Woody's Amazon series." At this point, anyway, I did that. It was a wonderful job, and it was an amazing experience. I working with Woody at all, and we exchanged a few sentences, and I think I did a good job. But you know, if I were to die right now on the spot, I'm a happy man. Completely, you know, fulfilled that goal. I have other ideas. You know, there's other things I could do still. But that was like, oh wow. I actually designed a movie for Woody.
Our guest is Carl Sprague, the Berkshire-based award-winning scenic and production designer and art director, will be giving an artist lecture at the Opalka Gallery at the Sage Colleges in Albany, New York, tomorrow night at 6:30. opalka.sage.edu for more information. As we continue, I asked him to tell me about some of the other filmmakers with whom he has worked, specifically, to begin, with Wes Anderson.
He has been a tremendous inspiration and a colleague and just a remarkable force, and very interesting and instructive to work for. Designing, or, you know, I haven't designed anything specifically, you know, I mean, technically speaking, I've never, like, designed a movie for Wes, but I sure have drawn a lot of the images that that were in, you know, Moonrise Kingdom and Grand Budapest and upcoming Isle of Dogs. I worked on that for 9 months. I must have done like 1,000 drawings for that at least. And it's been very interesting also, like, watching his kind of technique and approach change since, like, I was art directing Royal Tenenbaums, where, you know, his brother Eric did some sketches, you know, and did some concept art that was very wonderful and sort of inspirational. But I did a couple of little scribbles because someone had to. You know, now he storyboards and plans and details everything, and it's incredible. Like, you know, Moonrise Kingdom, I drew probably sketches and concepts. I mean, there were storyboard artists, of course, but, you know, I think I could safely say that I drew at least 50% of that movie. I mean, you know, there was the art director, Jerry Sullivan, and there were a couple of other people that came in, you know, there. But I was like sort of stuck in the corner with a cup of coffee and, you know, and just drawing all the time very happily. I'm very proud of the way that thing looked. And then Grand Budapest was also, you know, again, there was a fairly sizable art department, but, you know, they gave me the juiciest things. like the hotel and a part in the movie, yes. You know, I got to be an extra, you know, I don't know. I mean, so Wes has been an amazing connection to have. And, you know, I just admire so much what he does. And but what I was saying before I went off in this long diatribe was, you know, he designs the things. I mean, it's when you're talking about Wes Anderson, I mean, he's the designer, and, you know, we're all just there, like, trying to keep up with him, and, you know, and he'll come up with some, you know, you'll ask him a question, and he'll come up with some sort of wacky answer. You think, really, Wes? I mean, not that anyone says that, but then it turns out to be genius, you know? So he is a very surprising and interesting individual. Gosh, I mean, the people I've gotten a chance to work with. I mean, I've had brushes with Spielberg on Amistad. That was amazing. I mean, you know, just like an incredible guy to watch. And obviously, you know, worked closely with Doug Trumbull for, you know, on a bunch of projects. And Doug is, you know, again, like, you know, just like, you know, this sort of force of nature, extraordinary mind. And Gregory Crudson, who was our, you know, one of our local Wunderkinder, and with whom I am looking forward so much to collaborating again. Gregory has his own extraordinarily particular vision, and it's been a real privilege to help articulate that. I did 3 campaigns for his photographs up at Mass MoCA, but it was the whole Beneath the Roses series, which was remarkable, and we, I don't know. I mean, in a way, I feel like we almost did too good a job and made things too perfect for Gregory. But you know, it was a joy to work with him and get a chance. You know, I mean, on a movie set, everything has to be 360 degrees, and you're ready to jump in any direction, and anything could happen. Gregory, we'd work on something for a couple of weeks. And then we would shoot, and it's one frame. that's so we really got to dig in, and that was pretty marvelous. And the fact that we were actually shooting up at Mass MoCA, which was, of course, my grandfather's factory, my dad's cousin, John Sprague, who was the last head of Sprague Electric, took me out to lunch at the restaurant that was there, but just to congratulate me for being the first Sprague to earn a dollar on Marshall Street in a generation.
Jumping yes. back before you start working in films, before you go to NYU, maybe even before Harvard, how did you first discover that you had a kind of aesthetic knack, or that you could draw or would try to translate that into a job?
Well, I always liked to draw. I think all children like to. And, you know, that's one of the things, to go back to Susan. I mean, you know, she taught art to kids officially at Berkshire Country Day School, but also, like, all her life. And she sort of also taught it to me. even though I was not a kid anymore. But it's funny. I mean, I don't really think of myself as being particularly, you know, talented at drawing, but I found myself again and again in these situations where it's like, oh, someone has to do it, you know? And at that point, you just do it. I mean, and whether you feel confident in your abilities or not, or whether it looks good, you know, you just try your best and something comes out. And the power of a picture is an extraordinary thing. I mean, if you make a picture, I mean, it is indeed worth 1,000 words or more. And I've found again and again this incredible effect where, you know, if you do a sketch of like what you think something should look like, whether it's, you know, particularly an effective sketch or not, it will assemble itself before your eyes. I mean, people will come together and make it happen. And that's true whether it's like some, you know, multi-million-dollar film project or some little like, you know, $1,000 theater set for Old Castle Theater up in Bennington. I mean, if there's a picture, that picture is something that people will get behind and make happen. Sometimes I say people, sometimes that person, just me, but you know, sometimes there's an army and, you know, and then you really need to have a picture to show people. So I was a very fortunate kid growing up in New York, and, you know, my grandmother took me out to Broadway shows and a lot of great things in Sondheim musicals and so forth, but the getting to go to the opera, the ballet, and, you know, so, and I was actually up here at the Berkshire Theater Festival, I think I must have been like 13 or something. I said Christopher Walken was in, God, I can't even remember what it was. Anyway, there was some sort of realistic kind of kitchen sink set on the main stage there. And I remember thinking, it's like, you know, I could do that. And then there was another very compelling, strange thing that happened to me, which was my great-grandfather in Czechoslovakia. There was a kind of a fad for puppet theater, for marionette theater. But so he made a little marionette theater, I think, for my grandmother and her brother to play with, and then like made it into sort of more of a thing for when my mother and her sister came along. And but the Second World War came along, and that theater never got delivered to them, and they were refugees and fled the country, et cetera, et cetera. But my father, because of the Prague Spring in 68, he actually managed to go and visit his grandmother-in-law and some sort of like, I think a rented Volkswagen from Vienna, went out to northern Bohemia, and my babichka said, Peter, you must take the puppet theater because I don't know what to do with it, and it's just gathering dust. And so he stuffed it in the Volkswagen and managed to get it back here, and my grandmother made it her life's work, and we went from like having, you know, sort of take 10 puppets to, you know, 60, and all this scenery, these wonderful little cutout lithographs and so forth. And so, you know, that was my plaything. It was meant for all of, you know, us grandchildren, my three brothers and my, you know, two cousins and so forth, but I hogged it completely, and it's still planted now in my backyard. But that was an inspiration. I mean, such a toy. And, you know, when I told my grandmother that I was thinking about going into a career in theatrical design, she said, "Ach, if I had known you would pursue this gypsy profession, I would have burned that puppet theater." But she actually supported me, and I think she'd be proud, you know. I don't know. It's been a weird line of work, and it's been erratic and strange, and but you know, it's been intensely rewarding, always interesting. You know, sometimes it pays, and you know, and then like, you know, now I'm a gray-haired old man. Like, you know, I just got voted into the Academy, which is very nice. You know, I had to go pay my dues, but they keep on sending me screeners. It's fun.
Production designer, art director, and concept illustrator Carl Sprague will present a lecture about his work at the Opalka Gallery at the Sage Colleges in Albany, New York, tomorrow night at 6:30. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.